So yeah, Mike, head of partnerships at Skyscanner, and I've been with the company for about 6 years now. Previous to that, I was with Iceland Air for a few years. And then long before that, I was with an airline no longer with us. I don't know if you remember BMI, British Midland. So I'm a bit of a self-proclaimed av geek, a bit of a geek for the industry. I love what I do. So today, I'm going to indulge, if you'll let me indulge me, share the story of Skyscanner. I'll give you a bit of an introduction on who we are, what it is exactly that we do, and then I'll share some trends with you in terms of how we see 2024 panning out. And then I'll wrap things up today with a bit of a shameless sales pitch. I'm just trying to click forward, but the slides don't seem to be moving. I don't know if you can help me at the back. Great. So Skyscanner, who are we? So we're one part tech company and one part travel company, of course. People are surprised when we describe ourselves as a tech company, but believe it or not, 75% of our workforce are actually in tech roles. They are software engineers. And then, of course, the rest of us are focusing on all of the great partnerships that we have within the travel industry itself. Our job is quite simple. You know, it might seem quite complicated on a daily basis, but if we stand back, and I always try and oversimplify things, ultimately what we're trying to do is bring millions of people from A to B and connect them with trusted partners like yourself. The partners that we work with vary quite a bit. So of course we work with airlines, most airlines in the world. We partner with airports, many of which are here today. Hoteliers, car hire companies, destination management companies. We actually work with over 1,200 organizations that we're directly partnered with and that we can send our millions of travelers to every single day as well. So I'm going to take you through a bit of the Skyscanner journey in the form of some numbers and stats and figures. So 2003 is when the company started, which is just over 20 years ago, back in Edinburgh, Scotland, which is where I'm from, so I'm slightly biased. And it was started by three friends in the pub, an idea they had over a few pints. Every single year they would go skiing in the Alps. And software engineers themselves, self-proclaimed geeks themselves, they came up with a bit of a spreadsheet, a shared spreadsheet, where they could sort of log all the best and the cheapest ways to get to their favorite ski resort. The spreadsheet then evolved and it sort of became quite popular amongst our group of friends, grew arms and legs. And eventually what happened is our co-founder, Gareth, ended up leaving his well-paid software engineering job to work on the Skyscanner project full-time. And his two other friends shared their salaries between the three of them. A lot of things happened in 20 years, but I'm going to skip forward to today, where we have 120 million travelers coming to our site every single month. 120 million people. It's quite a difficult number to imagine. Coincidentally, the population of Italy is 60 million. So if you imagine every Italian and their imaginary twin coming onto our platform, that's how many people we serve every single month. We're also in 52 managed markets, but we operate across 180 different countries in the world. And quite impressively, we're in 32 languages. I think the most recent language that we added was Arabic, which is quite cool. The numbers start to get really big now. So 24 billion is the number of search combinations that are available on Skyscanner. I've just been sent this number. I have no idea. I've not fact checked it. I'll just have to take their word. But you really get a feel for the scale of the type of data that our tech geniuses are working with here. 80 billion searches. 80 billion searches happening every single day on our platform. This one's from 2019, but I thought it was quite cool to share with you. So in 2019, Skyscanner was responsible for putting 220 million people in the air, which at the time equated to about 5% of global air traffic. And I always imagine if you told the three guys in the pub when their idea had just been on a spreadsheet that that's what they'd be doing 20 years later, I think they would have probably just laughed. And I imagine they're probably laughing now from a beach somewhere. So 60,000 searches take place on Skyscanner every single second, 60,000. So in the time that it takes me to even read that stat, about 200,000 searches have happened, which is quite unimaginable. 1.1 billion searches happening every single month. You get the idea. We're quite big. So 56%, interestingly, 56% of people that come to Skyscanner don't actually have a firm destination in mind. So they've come to us for a bit of inspiration. And I'll touch upon that in more detail in a second. But I'd love to share with you a bit of our company philosophy. Now, I know that certainly in the corporate world, every company has their mission statement or their philosophy that they claim to live by. Sometimes it's a bit stale, a bit unrelatable. But ours has remained the same in the last 20 years. And certainly in the last 6 years that I've worked there, it's been true to form. Like the the philosophy goes like this. So we're partner first. Sorry, Skyscanner, traveler first, partner second, and Skyscanner third. And what we mean by that and how we put it in practice is, if we're thinking of a new product or we're trying to innovate a product, or maybe we're thinking about making a new commercial model, we'll always think first, does it serve the traveler? And we genuinely do think like this, because our idea is, if it serves the traveler and they love it, they'll come back time and time again, or they might tell their mates. If it does serve the traveler, we'll then think to ourselves, right, does it serve the partner? Is this going to be good for the airline? Is it going to be good for the hotel, the airport? And if it does, then chances are we're probably going to explore that idea, with the idea being that sort of further down the line, Skyscanner benefits as a result, rather than thinking how some other companies operate, where we just focus on how do we increase profit. And that's served us pretty well for the last couple of decades. So I'm just going to quickly share with you some of those features that we regard as traveler first, and some of those features that have got us to where we are today. I'm going to have a quick show of hands, actually, if anybody either uses Skyscanner or has used Skyscanner for their own travel. I always get quite nervous. Brilliant. Most of the room, fantastic. Hopefully you'll be familiar with these. If you aren't, I urge you to go in and play with them. They're great. The first one, the most popular by far, is our Search Everywhere feature. Sort of does what it says on the tin. You can search to go anywhere. So in practice, all you would do is put in your home airport. Don't select a destination. You just select everywhere. And then we'll present to you, in order of the cheapest, the best destinations that you can visit. And this ties back to that stat I told you, where 56% of our travelers are coming to us for inspiration rather than with a firm destination in mind. Another great feature, I use this one quite a bit. So it's, if you know where you want to go, but you're a bit more flexible on your dates, we cache our prices every single day. So from those millions of searches that are taking place, we'll update the price on every single day. So you can say, right, if maybe I go a day earlier, I could save 100 euros. A day later, you get the idea. Multi-city, I used this last week for planning my summer trip. So it's great if you want to do an open jaw ticket, or if maybe you've got a trip that involves six different legs, you're able to do this within the one itinerary and get a price within seconds. Price alerts, this has been a loved one for many years. You've got your destination in mind. You don't have the urge to buy straight away. Maybe you're a bit more budget conscious and you're just waiting on, or hoping I should say, on that price dropping. We'll send you an email anytime that price fluctuates, whether it be up or down. And then best, fastest, and cheapest filters. So back in the day, back in those early days, we used to just present our travelers with all the prices in order of the cheapest, and people seemed quite happy. And then we noticed something happen. We ended up on platforms like Twitter. People were making memes of us. And I think there was one particular itinerary. I think it was like London to Bangkok, which direct should take what, about 12 hours. This particular itinerary, I think, had six connections. I mean, you had to climb the Himalayas. You had a week in Shanghai. It was about 100 quid, good deal, but of course nobody was clicking it. So we introduced our best algorithm, and this is now the default search filter. And we take into consideration things like the number of connections, the time for the layover, and so on. And partner quality score, this one doesn't get spoken about a lot. You know, we are a marketplace. We're connecting millions of travelers to many trusted partners like yourself in this room. And whilst all of the partners we work with, of course, are completely vetted, we want to put the power back in the traveler's hands and let them decide who they make their booking with based on the reviews left by the previous person that made a booking with that partner. And last but not least, in terms of our features here, this is one that's sort of in its beta phase. We're trialing it in a few test markets just now on unlimited devices, but it's called Total Cost Search. You know, at the end of the week, if I'm in the pub with my mates, often people are quite complimentary about Skyscanner. Most people will say they love using it. Then they'll have a few more pints and they'll tell me the truth. And often they'll say things like, is it true you steal all my cookies and then every time I come back on, the price increases the next time? Categorically, not the truth. And then the second thing they talk to me about is how they can do a search, get a really good fare, and by the time they've got to the end of that process, maybe add some bags or a seat, it's double the price from when they started. So this has been an issue for a while, and it's feedback that we get constantly. And it's a very, very difficult thing to try and fix. As you imagine, we are connected to, like I said, over 1,200 partners like yourselves, and we get a lot of different prices from different APIs. You know, terminology is quite different across different suppliers. What might be a hand baggage to British Airways might be different to EasyJet. It's a very difficult and complex world to try and navigate, but we are starting it, and we really do want to fix it. And the dream and the goal for us is that you'll come onto Skyscanner, you'll pop in your destination, you'll say that you maybe want your seat included and your bag, click search, and then all of those results that you see will be like for like. You'll be comparing the exact same So that's what we're working on just now, and hopefully that'll be rolled out either later this year or next. So that's the features that have made us a much-loved company. And of course, we're very lucky to have the large audience that I spoke to you about in the Facts and Figures. But something else we do, not just for the consumers, but for the industry, sort of every 3, 6, or 12 months, we release a Horizons report, which is a bit of a reflection on what happened in the industry in the last few months. And then we look ahead, and we do this by surveys. So the last one we did, I think it was in December, we asked 18,000 travelers across 15 different countries what their plans were for 2024 to try and get a feel for what the year ahead looked like. And the good news is it looks great. So travel and travel spend are a top priority for travelers all over the world. 81% of travelers plan on either traveling the same as what they did last year or traveling more. And specifically those traveling more, I think equates to about 41%, which is quite significant. I know, I appreciate that's probably quite difficult to read. This is just a breakdown of the individual countries and responses, which I can share with you afterwards. In addition to that, budgets are increasing. So for those that are going to travel this year, they're going to spend more whilst they're doing it. So 39% of travelers have confirmed that when they're traveling in 2024, they're going to spend more doing so than what they did last year, which is incredible. We also asked them a bit of information about what ancillaries they value or what they planned on purchasing through that ancillary process. And the top two I can definitely relate to. The first one was insurance. I actually got an email this morning from my company insurance to say that my claim was accepted. I was just saying to Patrick earlier, I was in Saudi a couple of weeks ago on a work trip. It was a long flight home through the night. I was quite tired. You know what it's like, you stand in front of that baggage carousel, 10 minutes feels like an hour. And then I saw my bag come, great, but it was missing the big plastic handle. So I had to actually just drag the bag. I couldn't actually use the wheels. Like, not the end of the world, first world problem, but good news is I got my 100 quid back this morning. The second one, seat selection. I'm 6'3", bit of a giant, and I can only last like an hour in the middle seat. So it's one I'm always buying as well. And it seems here that people are really intent on making their journey more comfortable. So they want better quality food, additional baggage, and when they're lounge access just to make the journey a bit more comfy. And sticking with that sentiment, a fifth of the people that we asked are considering going business or first class. When we look at the actual types of trips that people are going on this year, it's all about what's been identified as cultural experiences. So gone are the days where we're talking about COVID, thank goodness, and revenge travel almost in the past as well. And people really just want to get abroad, immerse themselves in local cultures, do things that locals do. We're still in a bit of a sort of Instagram era where people, you know, rightly so, want to show off about doing something a bit different. Things like music festivals, food festivals, and really feeling like a local whilst switching off from their day-to-day lives. Food in particular was an actual key theme that came out of this. And I can relate to this massively. Genuinely, in the last sort of like 5 years, I haven't visited a new city and not done a food tour. I'm really hoping I can squeeze one in tomorrow before the flight. It's a great way. I don't know if anyone here enjoys food tours, if that's just me, but it's a great way to obviously taste nice local food, often get nice wine, some beer, but you also get a bit of a tour of the city through the eyes of a local, which is nice. And if we look at the actual trends of how travelers are booking, the booking windows are increasing, which is obviously great because it shows confidence in our industry. We can see here that 34% of short-haul travelers are booking within 30 days. But more interestingly, 32% of those going long haul are booking a minimum of 3 months in advance, which if you'd asked us 2 months ago to share that data, it would have looked very, very different. So in summary, people are going to travel more. They're going to spend more. They want to immerse themselves in local cultures, and they just want a comfier trip. So let me rewind and take you back to that big audience I told you about, 120 million people coming to our platform every single month. Those 120 million people, of course, don't always interact. They don't always go ahead and make a purchase, but that's fine. We're okay with it because what they are doing is leaving behind a digital footprint, which I should say, by the way, is completely anonymized. So we don't know who any of these travelers are, but we know what they're searching for. And when you put it to a scale of 120 million, it really starts to mean something in terms of forward-looking trends. This, by the way, is where the sales pitch starts. So we've been distributing our travel insight across the industry now for over 10 years. And we do this by sort of encapsulating our data at two different levels. We've got search data and we've got redirect data. Our data itself actually encompasses about 150 data points. So if you imagine yourself as a Skyscanner user, you come on, you're selecting different buttons, you're clicking things here and there. We're capturing all of those in one line, and we call that a search. And then the minute you go off to your supplier, whoever that may be, an airline or a travel agent, we call that the redirect. So within the search database, we're capturing things that you might expect. So of course, we've got the origin, the destination, the dates, the cabin class. And then within the redirect, we've got more granular data. So we're looking at the itinerary specifically. So you've got which airline was it? How long was the connection, if there was one, the price, the currency? We can also see where that user was located when they redirected, meaning that we can measure things like potential airport leakage. And then we feed this into our dashboard, which is Travel Insight Vision. I can see familiar faces in this room. I know that a few of you are already subscribed. I've had a couple of meetings today demonstrating this tool, and it's a fantastic way to actually try and get an idea of what is going to happen and make proper decisions based on future trends. Because when I came into this industry, what I noticed is that a lot of decisions between airports and airlines in particular were based on what had happened previously. It was always looking at booked data. And people were unsure of the value of our data because it was just searches, it wasn't bookings. But what we were able to demonstrate to airlines, airports, destinations is that what people are searching for is actually what they want. Just because they've booked something, it didn't necessarily mean that's initially where the demand lay. It's just that that's all they could do. So Travel Insight Vision, easy to use interface, very similar to Skyscanner. You can't break it. And if anybody would like a trial or to see that in action, please grab me afterwards. Second pitch of the day, and the last pitch you'll be glad to hear, are our advertising products. So again, everything always comes back to that huge audience of 120 million travelers coming every month. And you'll remember that specific statistic that I called out of 56% of travelers not knowing exactly where they want to go. You know, they've not decided that firm destination. So they want to be inspired. They want to be taken on maybe a bit of a journey when they come to Skyscanner. And that's where you come into play, because recent campaigns we've worked on have been, there was an airline that really wanted to show off their business class. So you can't just do that in a normal search result. That would need to be a bit of a campaign. We had a recent cooperative deal where an airport, airline, and a destination all teamed up, shared budget, because they all had the same goal of promoting a stopover product where you were able to get two nights for free at, you know, no additional cost. So there's a whole lot we can do other than just presenting the cheapest results to people. And if your goal for this conference is to increase travelers or increase visitor numbers to your country, or fill your planes up, then maybe Skyscanner's for you. So that wraps up today's speech, and thank you for indulging me in my little pitch at the end there. I'd be happy to answer any questions. Feel free to ask them now or grab me later on this afternoon. Thank you.
I'm just curious to better understand how you track the catchment area of the airports. I mean, in this case, of the location where the passenger is.
Yeah, of course. So when it comes to, the location of the traveler is done through their GeoIP address. And then if you were an airport that was to subscribe to that tool that I showed you, then you would define your own catchment area. So when you receive the tool, you pop in your exact catchment area. We present you with the travelers that have done searches. So if you've got competition from other airports nearby, we would identify leakage, for example, as somebody that was closer to your airport geographically, but chose to search and redirect from another airport.
Hello, my name is Vasek and I'm from Armenia. I have a question. Markets like Armenia, which are very small, and especially in high season time, we have a lot of charter flights. And these charter flights are usually sold only locally, and those are not available on a big marketplaces, let's say like Skyscanner. And my question is, how feasible it is in the near future for you to consider this kind of traffic and this kind of business also and place it on their place marketplace or on their website so that will be also available? Because at the end of the day, the charter flights that are gone, yes, they do sell, but I think nobody is against of extra selling channels and having more profit. So what do you think, how feasible it will be in small markets for you to find partners and integrate these flights on your system?
It's a good question. I mean, it is feasible, of course. You know, back when Skyscanner started, we thought we would just always provide the cheapest flight options. And then, of course, we introduced hotels and cars and OTAs. So yeah, it's certainly feasible. It's not on the roadmap. The only difficulty with something like that in a small market would be how do we scale that globally, and how do we pick the markets that we want to work with? But our ultimate goal is to make travel for millions around the world easier, and that would certainly do it. So it's feasible.
Hello, Yanis Benzoubert. I have a question on, with the rise of Google Flight, do you see a decrease of viewers in Skyscanner?
We've not. So interestingly, the market itself has grown. Skyscanner is still the largest meta search. Of course, we keep our eyes on our friends next door at Google. I actually think the Google product is great, but there's space for us both. I didn't want to be too egotistical and share the stats against us in the competition, but Skyscanner is faring really well against the others.
Mike, thank you very much.
Cheers. Thank you.